This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Well, there's probably a lot of places you'd rather not be right now, but number one on the top of that list is probably the nation of Haiti. Because if you think it's bad where you are, you don't want to go to Haiti, believe me. Somebody who just came back from the border with Haiti is my brother, my good friend, Kevin Faldi, missionary to Haiti. But Kevin, you can't even go to Haiti to be a missionary there right at the moment, can you?
No, it's really a mess there right now, Chuck. We were just in the Dominican Republic and just got back this weekend. I got home Saturday night, but Haiti's just a mess right now.
So tell me first about your big adventure trying to get home.
Well, just coming home, we were scheduled to head home on, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock. We had a flight on American Airlines.
Right.
And my oldest son, Micah, and oldest daughter, Mariah, they were on a separate flight. So all of those flights got canceled. We got put on other flights, I think, on Thursday. And finally, after canceled flights with American, with JetBlue, with Spirit, we finally got on a Delta flight on Friday, I guess it was Friday afternoon, to Atlanta.
Wow. So what is the feeling like on the ground there? You were right on the border with Haiti, obviously ministering to a lot of Haitians that have fled the country. What are they telling you about what it's like inside Haiti right now?
Well, there's kind of this fear that's looming over Haiti, because most Haitians and even those familiar with Haiti understand that this whole coronavirus idea is just bad news for Haiti. If that breaks out and takes off, most people that know Haiti understand that Haiti doesn't have any real kind of healthcare system that deals with much of anything, especially out in country and rural areas. So if we're struggling here in the United States to come up with a way to deal with the virus, you know, they're just light years behind us as far as medical concerns, and there's just no way they're going to be able to do much about that.
Well, as we record this, I see that there are 15 cases that are known of the COVID virus in Haiti, which probably means there are 1,500 at least that right. are not known, because they're obviously, they don't have the testing capability. And so this looks like it's going to get really, really bad. I mean, it's bad in Haiti before COVID. Tell me about what the reason that you haven't been able to actually be inside Haiti lately, because of the violence and stuff that's going on there.
Yeah, so even before this broke out, Haiti was raised to the State Department raised Haiti to that level 4, which is do not travel. And that there's a huge kidnapping problem that's on the rise again. It used to be a couple years ago, kidnapping was an issue. They kind of got that under control, I think, at least for a while. And back then it was more exclusively ransom money. But now it's ransom, plus you're hearing other some pretty horrendous stories, and you don't know if all of them are true or not, but there's some pretty tough stories coming out of there. But evidently there's really 4 different main gangs in Port-au-Prince, groups that are kidnapping. I know one of them it basically has a fortified city area over a built on a slum, basically.
Is and, that what do they call that? Ville de Dieu or something like that?
That might be one of them. I'm not sure. I won't guess at that. But from what I read, that some of the police force went in there to try to get one of those under control, and their vehicles got shot up, and they had to retreat from that. So it's a mess in some of those areas. We're still doing a lot of work through our partners down there. We just recently purchased three new properties, and one probably in the next week or two will be purchased for different church plants that we want to start in rural communities out there. So we still have a lot going on, but some of that work is being delayed, obviously. That is more now because of COVID-19. Everything's hard to get. It's hard to get cement. It's hard to get rebar. And, you know, things just aren't moving as quickly. But the kidnapping is more restricted to the big city areas, not out in rural areas as much.
Right. And you guys are working out in Seguin and up in the mountains where it's probably not. I mean, there is more social distancing, if you want to call it that, just simply because right. there's not that many people. However, you've got to go through the big cities to get to those places. And those people, it's really unfortunate, the level of extreme ignorance that you see going through there when it comes to things like sanitation, where you'll see not just thousands of people packed in, crowded together, but you'll see a ditch with green, mucky water in it, and there'll be somebody washing their dishes and somebody urinating and somebody taking a bath and somebody, you know, all in the same ditch. Right. And obviously that's not going to go well for them. How can people pray for Haiti right now?
Boy, on many fronts, I would say starting with this COVID-19, just pray that it doesn't take off like wildfire there. One of the guys I talked to recently, our project manager that oversees a lot of our church building and construction projects, he said, you know, asking Haitians to stay home and quarantine in their houses is a death sentence, you know, because Haiti is really... It goes back to an old system that we had probably 150 years ago. It's just day-to-day living, you know, no electricity, no refrigeration. So you don't, you can't go buy a few hundred dollars worth of food, put it in the fridge and have a few weeks of food stored in your house. It's a day, you know, day by day, it's a daily thing out in the market, bartering, out in the garden, planting and harvesting and hauling it to the market. So it's just... There's no plan B for tomorrow. It's just live one day at a time. And that's coming in contact with a lot of people each day.
Right. They don't live from month to month there. They live from hand to mouth. And when you're living from hand to mouth, you cannot distance from people too much or else there's just no way for you to get any food. I guess it's been pretty difficult to even get food out to those, you know, to Jacmel and that area anyway, because of all the unrest. You said last time I talked to you that they had welded bars across the bridges to keep vehicles from going in there. So is that still an issue as well?
No, that hasn't been an issue lately. People are free to move, but now people are out in Jacmel, Cay Jacmel. People are paranoid about going to Port-au-Prince. This kidnapping thing, no one's immune to it. And the kidnappers, from what I've heard, understand they can get about $2,000 American money from Haitians that have no connection to U.S. money or family or friends over here in the States. But if it's someone, if they go through the phone and they find pictures of nice cars and nice houses and they know that you're connected to American money or you are an American, they know they can get at least $10,000 in ransom money. So Haitians are scared. Americans are scared. Groups are scared to go in. We've probably canceled a half a dozen trips over the course of the last year just because people don't want to go. And that's understandable.
Sure. I see that just since December, there have been 12 Americans kidnapped in Haiti. And that's way up from the year before. In 2018, there were zero Americans kidnapped. So this is a growth industry in Haiti and a real concern for anybody, not just wealthy people, but just everyday Haitians. But for you and your family, what does that mean for your ministry? Does that mean that you're going to have to work remotely out of the Dominican? Does that mean that you're going to be in danger even there in the Dominican Republic because they're going to start kidnapping across the line or what?
Well, the Dominican is kind of a plan B for us. There's a lot of Haitians over there, and we're working with one church plant over there right now, and helping the guy that's building that church. We're helping him build a house and building a missions apartment above that house for Paracaleo for groups to stay there. So there's work going on over there as well. We don't feel like that's really our number one calling to be over there. We just have a heart for Haiti, but for Haitians in general. So if we have to be in the Dominican from time to time, that we can do that, and we're fine with that, but that's really not our number one priority. But as far as going in, right now we're limited. Even in May, we're planning to take a medical team down if that works out. That's still kind of up in the air right now. Mm-hmm. But
You're going to the Dominican, or you're going to go to Haiti?
To go to Haiti. But really, the only way we can do that right now is when we fly in, to immediately jump on an MAF plane, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. That way, we're only in Port-au-Prince for a few minutes outside of the airport. And then we're back on another plane that drops us off in Jacmel. So that bypasses some of the, you know, the really bad areas in Port-au-Prince if we do that.
Right, yeah, because they're grabbing people right in front of the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince right now. As a matter of fact, I saw that the entrance to the neighborhood you were talking about that's owned by the gangs that police can't even go into is like 1,000 yards from the old U.S. Embassy. It's like right there. And they just, the police, even with a full contingent of new armored vehicles that were given to them by the United States, they tried to go in there, and they got so badly shot up, they disabled all of their armored vehicles, and now they don't have them anymore. So, I mean, it is really, really bad there. I've been going to Haiti since probably about 1986 or 87, and I know you were raised in Haiti, born and raised. Were you born in Haiti?
No, just raised there.
Oh, just raised there. Okay, but so you speak Haitian like a native, have you ever seen it this bad? It's been bad, but have you ever seen it this bad?
It's been bad, but not in this sense, with gangs controlling large areas and basically whole. Almost like a little city, you know, their own little city, where one story I was reading, there was a guy in being held hostage at gunpoint, and a lady just walked into the house and asked to borrow a broom and a chair and didn't think anything of it because she sees it, you know, the kids in the neighborhood see it, and they're just used to it, and they know that ransom money pays for their food and their living expenses. Right. So
industry to them, but it's such a brutal industry. I mean, they're just
we could send the Rangers in there and take care of it.
Well, you know, we did that in 1994. It didn't seem to do a whole lot of good. I think the United States has intervened militarily in Haiti, I believe, about 18 times throughout history, and so far it hasn't done a whole lot. I have a quick package I wanted to show of U.S. military taking aid to Haiti just in the last couple of months. So check this out.
A lot of folks, when they're on the outside, they really just think the military, they just deliver combat power. They're delivering the war machine. They're bringing troops and they're bringing ammunition. And we do that. We do a lot of that, and we do it better than anybody else. But we also deliver hope to the children in Haiti who just need supplies. What we're going to do is we're going to load up about 200,000 pounds of humanitarian assistance and school supplies and agricultural supplies and vehicles and deliver them to Haiti. We do this because there's people in need. There are people out there who are just in desperate need of these supplies. They need food, they need water, they need just a little bit of hope. It's fulfilling, first of all, obviously, to see the people who are benefiting from what you're doing. But also, we're accomplishing a lot of great training along the way. There's a few missions that really just absolutely touch my heart, and that's one of them, is delivering aid, delivering hope to those who just absolutely desperately need it, and then you can see the benefit directly of them just receiving the aid.
All right, folks, that's all we've got for our Hot Zone podcast today. If any place on the globe counted as a hot zone, qualified as a hot zone, it would be the nation of Haiti. So be praying for them. And if you'd like to support Parakaleo, Kevin, tell them how they can get a hold of your ministry.
They can go to parakaleointernational.com. That's P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E-O, parakaleointernational.com. And there's a link to give there. And 100% of what's given goes to the Haitian people and the church planting effort down there. So I know they appreciate it. And on their behalf, I would say thank you in advance for everything that you're able to do for them.
Well, we support Parakaleo, and I highly recommend that the rest of you do as well. Kevin, thanks for coming on the show with us. Folks, that's all we've got for the Hot Zone today. I'm Chuck Holton, and we'll see you back again next week. Hey, folks, just a quick update on this story. The doctor in charge of the hospital in Port-au-Prince, it's the only hospital in the whole country that can treat COVID patients, has now been kidnapped. Yes, this is how retarded things have gotten in Haiti right now. And so the doctors and nurses that work at that hospital have shut the hospital down and said, we're not working till this guy gets returned. And that's, I mean, good for them. But what this shows is just how screwed Haiti is when it comes to the COVID virus because of the ignorance that's on display there. And so we need to pray for that country. We'll see you.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.